What I think might have happened is that I said something so outrageous to you, so unlikely, so surprising, so shocking, that I needed to double, triple, back myself up in the Word of God. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender here. What did I tell you that was so shocking? I told you that at the Great White Throne, I would rather be Adolf Hitler than Billy Graham. I would rather be Jeffrey Dahmer than... Who's he gonna say? Is he gonna say Joel Osteen? I bet he is, because he can't stand Joel Osteen. I'd rather be Jeffrey Dahmer than, say, Joel Osteen. Because Paul makes a shocking statement that judgment's coming to the Jew first. To the Jew first. Why? Because the Jews had every advantage. They had Jesus Christ in their midst, and they rejected the light. These other people I mentioned did not reject the light. They never had the light. And so the Jews and Billy Graham become, and Joel Osteen become, the biggest hypocrites the world has ever known. And they have taken God's name, and they have disparaged it. They have dragged it through the mud. They have turned people away from God by the millions because of their teachings of humans, teachings of men, Jesus called them, the teachings of men. You love these more. You love the teachings of men more than the truth of God. And this will be borne out at the Great White Throne. And so, Jesus talked about what would happen to a city or a home who rejected his disciples. And it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judging than for that city. Did I get that far? I mean, that is a shocking statement. Jesus Christ is in Israel. He's in the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, whichever city or village you may be entering, inquire in it who is worthy. This is relative, folks. It's all relative. There remain till you should be coming out. Because if you remain, that means that the inhabitants of this city or this town or this home, they received you as a disciple of Christ, and they listened to your word, and they wanted to hear more. They wanted to hear more because they're hungry for the truth. Coming into a house, salute it. And if indeed the house should be worthy, let your peace come upon it. Yet if it should not be worthy, let your peace be turned back on you. And whosoever should not be receiving you. Oh, that was the day of their visitation. That was the day. That was the day that they had the, quote, chance, unquote. I'm speaking relatively here. I'll just say it. No air quote. They had the chance to believe. Salvation came to their home. Be turned back, and whosoever should not be receiving you, nor yet be hearing your words, coming outside of that house or city or village, shake off the dust from your feet. Verily, I am saying to you, more tolerable will it be for the land of Sodom and the land of Gomorrah in that day of judging than for that city. God's not going to judge land. This is a figure of association for the people of the land. In Sodom and Gomorrah, we have come to know as the epitome, the poster children for sin, for decadence, for going backwards spiritually. And God destroyed those cities. And yet it's going to be more tolerable for them than for Joe and Agnes Smith, who on April the 3rd, the year 29, received a knock on their door in the middle of their favorite television series, and it was a disciple of Jesus Christ bringing the word of the evangel. And they, Agnes and Joe, who did I call them? Joe and Agnes, sure. Looked them up and down, and they looked rough. And there's Peter at the door, an unknown fisherman. And he says, peace be upon you. I bring you the evangel of God, for near is the evangel of God. They look him up and down. Well, that doesn't agree with what we heard at the sanctuary. Peter probably announces himself as an emissary of Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, they've heard of Jesus of Nazareth. That loser, that sinner, the man who hangs out with prostitutes and tax collectors, and aren't you a fisherman? You smell funny. And in the meantime, they keep looking back at their television because they're missing their stories. They're missing their favorite show. And so they're turned away. The great light came. You see, the great light came to their threshold, and they turned it away. And you think, well, that's just Joe and Agnes. I know them. They're great. They're fine people, upstanding people. I see them in the market. In fact, Joe works at the market. He weighs my hazelnuts every morning, and Agnes belongs to the ladies' club, and she's the best bridge player in Bethlehem and during the league there. There's a league in Bethlehem. I mean, she lives in the outskirts of Nazareth, but she plays bridge in Bethlehem. She does. I know this. And so, yeah, you would think any normal person now, if we had the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have Agnes Jones, did I call her Smith? If I did, it was a mistake. It's Agnes Jones. Standing next to each other, who would you favor in the judgment? Who's the judgment going to go hard against, and who's it going to go easier on? I tell you this, it will go harder on Agnes and Joe Jones because they rejected the light. They lived in the land of Israel. Sodom and Gomorrah, did they live in the land of Israel? No. Did they have any great people living there? No. Did they get the light of Jesus Christ? No. They had nothing. They just were relying on their own instincts, which apparently weren't too sharp. Anyway, they were destroyed by a messenger of the Lord. This is shocking. This is why I say Jeffrey Dahmer is better off than Joel Osteen, because these men had the light, and Billy Graham, they went through seminary, and they had all this exposure to the Word of God, but they didn't give a rat's about it, because they took it at face value. They loved the teaching of eternal torment. They loved the teaching, in the case of Joel Osteen, of acquiring things, of using the gospel of God for your physical advantage, for your ease in this life. Sickening. The evangel of Joel Osteen, so-called, any of these prosperity teachings. Sickening. Don't want to be these people at the great white throne. You don't want to be these people. They took the light and they bartered it for their own comfort. They didn't use the scriptures to find out about God and Christ. New house be damned. No. They tried to find a way to manipulate God for their advantage, to use God to get somewhere. With God in your life, you can be this. With Jesus in your life, you can be that. It's a tool to get somewhere. Jesus can help you become the full person you can be. What the hell is this? It's not the gospel. The gospel concerns Jesus Christ. The gospel concerns the nature of God. The gospel doesn't concern you at all. The gospel doesn't care if every day's a Friday to you. The gospel doesn't care if you get your best life now. It's not about your life. It's ultimately not about you, period. It's not about you. It's about God and Christ. How has this been lost? This is the simplest thing ever. If there are any five-year-olds listening to me, they're going, we get it. That's fantastic. It makes sense. Of course it does, because I make sense for a living, because I'm simple-minded. I'm like a child when it comes to these things. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ we're studying. It's not a revelation of my best life now or how I can amass acceptance and beauty and love in this world for my satisfaction. Look at the so-called satisfaction of the men and women of God in the scriptures. They're persecuted. They're tormented. They're tortured even. They're killed. They're pushed out on the edges of society. The man in the temple who had his eyes healed, his eyes opened, blind man, was shoved out of the temple merely for challenging the hierarchy, the powers that be, the power brokers, the establishment, saying that. How can a man who takes away my blindness be of Satan? How can this be? How can you not accept him? How can you not believe your own eyes? Who are you to teach us, they said. Get the hell out of here. Bastard. Shit. I can't stand those people. I can't stand those people. Nope. And Jesus can't either. talking relatively, he's going to save them, because that's the miracle, folks, that God saves people like this. God saves the Pharisees. God saves Osteen. God saves Billy Graham. God saves Benny Hinn. God saves Creflo Dollar, whoever, what other idiots are out there purporting to have the words of God. I tell you what, can't take much more of this, you know. But there's a reckoning coming. They're idiots relatively. I feel a little bad about calling them that now. Maybe I got a little too hot there, but I am happy that God is the Savior of all humanity. I am. I'm also happy that there is going to be righteous judgment coming that will make it right for the people of God, the true people of God, who in days past have suffered horribly at the hands of these hypocrites. In modern day, they can't kill anybody legally, but they can fleece you of your money. These modern evangelists, they can take your money from you. They can cajole it from you. They can use it to build their own kingdoms. They can condemn your faith. The reason you don't have a new car is because your faith is lapsing. They can do all these things to hurt you. They can't kill you anymore. Back in the day, they could. Back in the day, they could kill people who had a extra measure of the Spirit of God that caused them to say the words of God. And these words will always clash with the institution, always. And they were killed, they were tortured, they were, again, pushed out on the margins of society. And their lives were ruined, their reputations were ruined. It's just horrible injustices that are going to be righted, beginning with the Jew first. That's the whole point here. I got another whole passage in Matthew chapter 11 about this very thing, because it's a wild concept. You just can't believe it. How could Zender say something so outrageous? Because it's a scriptural concept. You sin against the light, that's trouble. If you sin against the darkness, you're not as accountable, are you? How can you be? That's why, seriously, oh, before I forget that, was James that said he would not that many would become teachers, because they're subject to a finer degree of judgment, because the teacher is exposed to the light. The teacher is responsible for the people he's teaching. Adam was responsible for his family. As an animal are dying, not as an Eve. Eve was the one who partook of the fruit, who succumbed to Satan's lie, did not believe God. Eve did not believe God. And so, yet, as an animal are dying, he's responsible one. He's the responsible one. So those who have the light have a measure of responsibility, relatively, again, to bring the light. And Jesus chided the Pharisees. No, he condemned the Pharisees for saying, your sons of Gehenna, and you make double sons of Gehenna, those that you teach. I mean, you not only do you not get into the kingdom yourselves, but you keep others from getting into the kingdom. That's what he couldn't stand. You keep others from it. If you want to screw yourself out of Aeonian life, have at it, big boy. But you're screwing other people out. It's better to have a millstone hung around your neck and sink to the bottom of the sea than to injure one of these little ones, these innocent people who look to you to learn about God. That's what you think of them. You use them as pawns for your own power. There's so many sheep for you that you amass, that you add up, and you calculate how much can you get from each one. How can you keep them leaning on you, looking towards you, extolling you, your so-called virtues, which are non-existent, instead of to God? Woe to you. Those are the words of Christ. Woe to you. And he's not about to stop. No, not yet.